lot of discussion on this program and all around Washington about changes that Defense Secretary Robert Gates is proposing at the Pentagon. You can learn more about those changes, the budget proposal that he talked about last Thursday, at federalnewsradio.com. DOD reporter Jared Serbu covering that event and highlights of it played on this program. We also brought you, within the last week or so, highlights of an event hosted by the Hudson Institute talking about changes at the Pentagon and budgeting changes in particular, and the facilitator of that event and my guest on the program today is Seth Cropsey, senior fellow at the Hudson Institute and former assistant to the Secretary of Defense and former deputy undersecretary of the Navy. Seth, it's great to talk to you, and thank you for being on the program today.
Thanks for asking me, Francis.
Happy to do it. Let's just start where your event started. The description of the event poses the question, should short-term cost savings drive defense reform, or should defense policy reformers seek a broader overhaul that might incorporate effectiveness standards for equipment and new technologies, including combat effectiveness, portability, and resilience? The way the question is framed, and having had the advantage of listening to your event, I think I kind of know the answer, but why don't you tell us what you think?
Well, I think that people who are saving pennies and living on a tight budget can't afford to buy cheap things, because they're going to break and then they're going to have to buy some more cheap things. And when you add up the bill, it comes out to a bigger one than if you had paid the price for something that's valuable, worthwhile, and of quality in the first place.
How does that thought process, that view, fit with what Secretary Gates talked about at the event that he at the briefing that he had last Thursday with Admiral Mullen?
I'm not sure. The other question would be, how does what they say get interpreted by the bureaucracy?
Well, that's a fair question too,
You know, the bottom line here, in fact, is the bottom line, and that comes down to a question of a large policy question of whether cutting defense is the right thing to do in the economic circumstances of the United States. And I think that the people who wrote the Constitution and argued for its adoption and the Declaration of Independence had a very clear and concrete idea that defending the country was the first and most important responsibility of the government. And when you see cuts in defense, especially large cuts in defense, you have to ask yourself, is this consistent with who we are, what we were set up to be, and our Constitution? And so I think the questions you're raising go right to the heart of the issue.
When Secretary Gates started this initiative back in May with a speech at the Eisenhower Library, he talked a lot at that time about the tooth-to-tail or tail-to-tooth transition that he wanted to make. Is what you're hearing him talk about now, do you think, consistent with that? Or is it possible that he's gotten wrapped up a little bit in the emotion of the moment that we're seeing on the Hill, which is everything's on the table, so get ready for chopping?
Well, I think you answered the question correctly. Everything's on the table, so get ready for chopping.
Mm-hmm.
You look around at the world and at emerging threats. I mean, for goodness sake, the secretary himself is in Beijing, and that's the time that the Chinese military or Chinese government decided to test a fifth generation fighter, which the secretary decided we'd build enough of. That's a pretty significant statement, and if you're not able to read the tea leaves there or see what it means, then I don't know what could be plainer.
What does that mean in your view? I mean, the message seems to be clear, but your interpretation, I think, would be instructive.
Well, I think the message is that the Chinese are serious about building a powerful military that seeks to become a peer competitor of the United States. And that they're having tested this plane, which this particular Secretary of Defense decided he had enough of at the moment that he that the Secretary of Defense, Gates, was in China itself as a demonstration of their intention, that they see peer competition as a possibility, as something that they have an ambition toward, and that there it's not only a question of making statements but actually doing things.
Let's talk a little bit about some of the topics that were discussed at your event. Sure. The event was titled Defense Procurement for the 21st Century, Balancing Soldier Safety with Cost Savings. And there's a link to watch video of the event at federalnewsradio.com/in-depth. And I'll bump that up a little bit later this afternoon so it's easier for folks to find. The procurement process, I've had both civilian and uniform personnel sitting across the table from me here in the studio telling me over the years that the procurement process is maybe impediment's not the right word, but a challenge as far as the warfighter getting the tools that he or she needs to do his or her job. Talk about some of the potential solutions that were discussed at this event and some of the challenges that some of your guests, some of your panelists talked about.
Well, I think that the panelists, there was agreement among the panelists, first of all, that our troops deserve state-of-the-art protection, and that the challenges against them are increasingly dangerous and deadly. And, I mean, there were a couple of examples given that I thought were instructive and useful. And talking about, for example, body armor and the desirability of lightweight body armor over, heavier body armor. It was remarkable because there are products, for example, out there that are lighter weight than what's being used right now. And that was one of the points that that one of the members of the panel made. And it's the most remarkable coincidence. I got a phone call from a guy I know who's about to go on his third tour, I think, in the Middle East, and he had said that he'd seen snippets of the conference on online because Hudson had it up also, and his first question was that commentator who talked about the body armor. I said yes, and he said, "Is it going to be lighter?" That was his first question.
Mm-hmm.
That tells me a lot.
Yeah.
And I hope it tells your audience a lot. It's a serious issue, and it comes from the troops, and this is somebody with, you know, he's not interested in policy and whatnot. He's interested in safety, in protection, in doing his job well. And he's asking, you know, can we get better equipment? So that really resonated with what the panel members were saying, and I think it's a very good point.
Seth Cropsey is a senior fellow at the Hudson Institute and former assistant to the Secretary of Defense and former deputy undersecretary of the Navy. I want to talk a little bit about the Navy in particular when we come back from the break. A number of people have spoken up from the top of the Navy on down about the size implications for what Secretary Gates is talking about and what members of Congress have talked about when it comes to oversight. So let's talk a little bit about the Navy in particular when we come back from the break with Seth Cropsey on In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. We'll be back in a moment.
A persistent problem facing all government agencies today is disposal of their confidential documents or other sensitive material. The best solution is turning your confidential files into energy. That's right, energy. Get clean and go green with Energy Recovery Operations on Aberdeen Proving Ground in Edgewood, Maryland. Since 1988, Energy Recovery has destroyed all sorts of government confidential records and magnetic media while producing energy. There is complete destruction. Do the green thing. Turn your government confidential records into energy. go to energyrecoveryonline.com or call 410-679-6200. Your mission is possible. Stop identity theft. Burn your government-sensitive records. Log on to energyrecoveryonline.com or call 410-679-6200. That's energyrecoveryonline.com. This message will self-destruct in 3 seconds. 3, 2, 1.
Join host Jane Norris for Fed Central, Wednesday, January 12th at 1 p.m. as she and her guest John Nagle, president of the Center for a New American Security, Joanne Boutel, partner with Deloitte and former deputy chief financial officer at the Defense Department, and John Baba, principal with Deloitte, as they discuss cost efficiency and the challenges facing the Department of Defense in achieving it. Don't miss Deloitte's Fed Central program, Wednesday, January 12th at 1 p.m. on Federal News Radio, 1500 a.m.
What is the mission of the USDA's Food and Nutrition Service? What federal programs seek to reduce hunger while promoting better nutrition? What about innovative approaches to improving nutrition and reducing hunger? Join host Michael Keegan next week as he explores these and other questions with his very special guest, Julie Paradai, administrator of the Food and Nutrition Service within the U.S. Department of Agriculture.
Here's Tony Valletta, former Deputy Assistant Secretary of Defense for C3I, on the Why is Cybersecurity So Hard panel, sponsored by Unisys.
As you all know, we've been experiencing all different types of cybersecurity issues, as well as penetrations and attacks, ranging from individual things to websites to even penetrations of our power grid. I, for one, that have been working this for many years, am very concerned to make sure that things like our critical infrastructures of the United States do not get attacked and penetrated.
To listen to the whole program made possible by Unisys, log on to federalnewsradio.com.
Unisys Identity Solutions provides citizens, employees, and travelers with the means to identify themselves assuredly, conveniently, and effectively in both physical and IT environments. The goal in every identification and credentialing engagement is to provide the highest level of identity assurance in the most convenient and effective manner. Unisys end-to-end solutions incorporate all aspects of identification and credentialing. Learn more about Unisys security offerings. Visit unisys.com.
Hey there, I'm Christopher Dorbeck. Here's what we're working on for the Dorbeck Insider this afternoon. The Thrift Savings Plan, it's undergoing big changes to the L funds. These are the funds where you determine when you're going to tap that money and then you set it and forget it. L2010, it's gone, replaced by the L2050. We'll find out what all that means to you. And the FCC, they've jumped into competitions. We'll find out what they're doing this afternoon, 3 to 7, on the Dorbeck Insider. It's right here on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM and federalnewsradio.com.
Thanks for listening to In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Talking about the Pentagon with Seth Cropsey, senior fellow at the Hudson Institute and former assistant to the Secretary of Defense and former deputy undersecretary of the Navy. Seth, one of the areas, the particular branches of the military that's come under a lot of scrutiny throughout this process that Secretary Gates is undergoing is the Navy, and pretty much universal agreement that the Navy, as it stands today, is too small, both in number of people and in number of ships. Talk about that and how that size change, what people would like to see happen, fits into the overall situation money-wise that the military finds itself in today.
Well, the Navy stands at about 280-something ships, and it hasn't been this size since the early part of the 20th century, I believe since William Howard Taft's administration. At the same time, the Navy is facing threats in across the spectrum of potential conflict and sometimes in conflict around the world, from piracy to counterterrorism to making sure that weapons of mass destruction don't arrive at our shores. And then there's the large question of the increasing size of the People's Liberation Army Navy, the Chinese Navy, and their increasing capabilities and their stated intent to deny us access, deny the U.S. Navy access to the Western Pacific, specifically, among other things, with an anti-ship ballistic missile. whose advertised capability is to be able to hit an aircraft carrier. So as the Chinese Navy continues to increase, we're having problems. Our Navy is having difficulty keeping the size of the fleet constant, to say nothing of increasing it the way its plans have consistently called for the past 5 or 6 years. I mean, the size is around 280-odd ships or so, and the intent was to increase it to 313, down substantially from 375 from several years before. And if this trend continues, there will be a serious problem for the United States in maintaining a transoceanic global navy, and the naval preeminence, which is inseparable from the United States' position as a great power. So it's a big problem.
Is 313 the right number, do you think? Is 375 the right number? Is it somewhere in between? Or are we beyond technology-wise the point where it's the number that's important, rather it's the kind of ships that are in the fleet that are more important?
Well, if the kind of ships that the Navy builds remain more or less as they have in the past, I think that 350 may come close to what's actually needed. But there are all sorts of ideas, many of them intelligent and well thought out, that argue that a much larger fleet is necessary, but made up of smaller vessels that are more maneuverable, that are faster, that are cheaper than the ones that we have right now, and that increase the complexity that an enemy faces in trying to find and target our vessels. And those arguments are being, have been around now for several years, beginning most prominently with Admiral Sabrowski's report from 2005. I think that they have serious merit, and the Navy in some ways is responding to it. The littoral combat ship, for example, which is a smaller vessel than is typical of the surface fleet, is supposed to incorporate some of the technological ideas that are being discussed, specifically modularity. And what that means is that a single hull has the ability to be transformed into to have different purposes by basically taking in and out the boxes that perform warfare functions. So the same ship could do anti-submarine warfare as could do surface warfare, as an example, by simply removing the suite of weapons and communications and signal equipment aboard the ship. And if you take it out and put the other suite in, then you have a ship that's configured for a different mission. That's a change in the way of thinking about how ships are built, that's consistent with the ideas that are in the air right now, and I think reasonably so, because the nature of the threat has changed from the Cold War. And there are very, very dark questions about the Navy's ability to spend money on ships. So the idea of smaller and cheaper has a certain value to it.
Let's say that line of thinking is adopted today. Let's say Secretary Gates and Ash Carter Mr. Lin decide that's what we're going to do. We're going to move forward this way immediately. What are the procurement implications for trying to dramatically change the way that the Navy build or goes after the kinds of ships that it wants?
Well, if the Navy and the Defense Department decided that a considerably larger fleet of smaller ships is necessary, one thing it would do would be to inject life into the industrial base that builds ships for the United States. Because instead of a very few orders, there would be a lot of orders. They'd be for smaller vessels, but it would have a profound impact on the industrial base.
I appreciate your time today to talk about these issues. I would love to have you come back as the as events unfold, especially as Congress gets its hooks into what Secretary Gates talked about last week, and we start to see what might actually turn out to be the budget resolution that gets passed and goes to President Obama for approval.
It'd be a pleasure.
Seth Cropsey is a senior fellow at the Hudson Institute, former assistant to the Secretary of Defense and former deputy undersecretary of the Navy. My guest on In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio 1500 AM.